broadcasting from Singapore and broadcasting all around the world. You're listening to the EdTech Chat Podcast, taking the pulse of educators from all over the globe and bringing what you need every week. Now, over to your host, Craig Kemp.
Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the EdTech Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Kemp, and I'm thrilled to have your support. It gives me great pleasure to welcome a new sponsor of the show for the next 4 weeks, Education Perfect. EP was created in my home country of New Zealand 12 years ago with a vision to be a global leading online tool that revolutionizes learning outcomes and teacher productivity all around the world. EP has nailed that vision across Australia and New Zealand, working with 96% of secondary schools in New Zealand and 70% in Australia. They have now set their sights on supporting schools globally to survive and thrive in the world that we live in, and I, for one, am thrilled to see more schools getting opportunities to engage with EP and their amazing tools that enable transformative teaching and learning experiences for lifelong learners. To learn more about EP and to get a free trial, visit bit.ly/EPvideos. The links are in the description below. As I've shared before, I continue to work with the incredibly talented Mark Quinn to improve the final audio quality of this podcast. He has his own podcast production studio that provides editing and mastering services to content creators. To connect with Mark, please see the details in the podcast notes below. Last week, I talked about going back to the basics, and you shared many back-to-basics ideas to me via social media. Here's a small selection of your back-to-basics ABCs for EdTech. A. Adapting to change quickly and trying new things. Asking questions and anticipating change. Am I ready to learn and grow? B. Be ready for change and be adaptable. Be better than yesterday. Brush up on new skills. C. Create opportunities to learn and grow. Change only happens if you want it to. Culture moves us forward. Thank you for sharing your ideas. This week I want you to think about how creating the new normal can happen. If you've been following my new hashtag EP video series on all of my social channels, you'll have seen some discussions about how I truly believe that we're in a unique position as educators right now to create the new normal. If you haven't seen these videos, use the hashtag EP and follow along as I share 3 videos a week about how Education Perfect and myself are looking at how to create the new normal in education post-COVID-19. My question for you this week is, how can you create the new normal for EdTech in your class, school, or community? What can you do to help others embrace change, grow, learn, and develop? As a community of educators, how can we band together to make true and long-lasting change for the better of our learners? I look forward to hearing from you soon. A tool that has positively impacted the authentic and purposeful use of technology into classroom and meeting rooms that I have worked in is Education Perfect. I wanted to continue to talk about Education Perfect today because I'm truly amazed by everything they do. Education Perfect is often confused as a learning management system or LMS, but it's far more than that, and it doesn't even get close to fitting in this category. EP is a transformative learning tool, perfect for our current and future situation, packed full of ready-to-use resources and the ability to create your own to suit what you teach, no matter what curriculum you offer and where you live. Their new curation tool is incredible and very easy to use. As a student, learning with EP is easy and engaging to use across multiple curriculum areas, with a full year's worth of content in multiple curriculum areas pre-created for 8 different subject areas, including multiple languages. As a teacher, the ability to differentiate learning through real-time insights help you inform your practice. The easy-to-use data analytics ensures the learning progresses for each learner based on their needs in an engaging and blended learning environment. As someone who has used EP and has seen it in action and worked with the team behind the scenes to help inform the development of their product, I can't endorse them enough. I highly recommend that you take a look at Education Perfect at bit.ly/EPvideos and give it a go yourself for free. The link is in the description below. This week, I wanted to discuss the basics of time management in a connected world. I am an organized person that lives and breathes by my calendar. If it isn't in my calendar, then it's not worth doing. I need to know what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, and why I'm doing it. Time management is important to me, and in the digitally connected world that we live in, technology can help us better manage our time. As a teacher, Tools like EP can help us manage our time effectively and help give us time back when it comes to how and why we assign learning experiences. But there's so much more to a teacher's day that I want to talk about now. Let's start with a calendar. If you don't use one, get to it now. A couple of tools that I recommend in this realm are my go-to Google Calendar and the multitude of add-ons available to help, as well as Calendly to help others know your schedule and to find times that work for both of you without you having to go back and forth wasting valuable time to get connected. Check them both out. I've added a link to them in the description below. Next, let's talk a little bit about how I helped manage my time as a teacher. I'm going to keep this short and sweet because no teacher I know likes to be told how to manage their time better, but I hope that these tips can help you. Number one, organize the day by priorities. I use a notepad to-do list on my iPad and MacBook that syncs to my iPhone as well using the Notes app. I color code it and update it as I need to. Number two, strategically plan homework assignments. I've always been a fan of not reinventing the wheel. I always used to use tools like Education Perfect, which is engaging for students to assign work that'll mark itself and help inform next learning steps. Number three, set aside personal time. To me, this is the most important. And wellness is an episode of my EP video series on my social media this week. So go back and have a listen to that. Make sure that every day, no matter how busy you are, you get me time. By me time, I mean time just for you. I schedule mine into my calendar, and that's usually a walk by myself every day listening to podcasts. Last but not least, delegate tasks. We can't do it all ourselves. Good classroom managers know how to delegate. Use teaching aides, volunteers, and even students to handle classroom tasks and help save you enormous amounts of time. Learn to use these valuable helpers and think about tools like Google Docs to help organize them and get people on board. I hope you get the opportunity to explore these ideas in your day-to-day life. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Every week, I bring you a short interview with some of my edu heroes, an engaging learning experience with someone who makes a difference in education every day, with a particular focus or angle towards educational technology. This week, I had the pleasure of chatting with two incredible educators, Josh Stumpenhorst and Morgan Cave. Let's have a listen to both of these chats. Today, I have the honor of speaking with Josh Stumpenhorst. You might know him as @StumpTeacher on Twitter with over 33,000 followers. Josh and I have been connected online for some time now, and I constantly follow his feed for inspiration. Josh is a Learning Commons Director at Lincoln Junior High School in USA and is a Teacher of the Year, a winner. Josh speaks at many conferences and is the author of Drawn to Teach. Josh, it's an incredible pleasure to have you on the show today. Are you ready to talk education and technology integration?
Of course I am. Thanks for having me. I'm always ready to talk about either one of those.
Absolute pleasure. Let's get into it. So why don't you just start by describing a little bit about your current role and what inspires you to do what you do?
Yeah, thanks. So my current role, I'm, as you mentioned, a Learning Commons Director. And essentially that's a librarian. But in our district, we wanted to kind of change the role and the way people view that position. And so my job as a Learning Commons Director, yes, I oversee the library, but I also handle the makerspace, video production lab, kind of a little wood shop, digital fabrication lab, even we got a little arcade going. So a little bit of everything. And what inspires me is just the when I go to work, I never know what it's going to be. I never know what project idea a kid's going to come up with. I never know, you know, where the day might take me. And that just keeps me going.
That's super cool. I love the title that you've given there. How did that come about?
So for 13 years, I was an English and history teacher. And about 4 years ago, my district was transitioning the libraries into these new spaces. And my principal kind of talked to me about it. And I thought, it takes every piece that I love about teaching, working with kids, doing projects, and I don't have to do the grading. I don't have the accountability, the assessments. It's like you took the best part of teaching and told me I could do that all day. And I was in.
I love it. That's so cool. So what excites you about education today?
Obviously we're in a really unusual space, right? As so many of us are shuttered at home trying to do this e-learning, which is a whole thing all to itself. But what's exciting me is not surprising, but the way in which teachers have taken to it, the way in which they just said, all right, let's do this, and are making it work. And that just, you know, solidifies my belief in the power of teachers and what they can do for kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I've noticed that as well. I mean, in my role as an EdTech consultant working with schools all over the world, I mean, there's no teacher that I've come across now in a Zoom call or a Google Meet that hasn't been wanting to learn. And I think that hunger for learning is something that I've just absolutely loved. And I mean, it's not an easy job to engage your class in learning from afar, no matter what age you teach. But all of these teachers are just so engaged. And I think now more than ever, people realize the power that technology can bring in harnessing learning and adding value to learning in our classrooms. On that note, Josh, what's your best advice for educators in relation to educational technology?
You know, I always think about that question, and I think I kind of have a two-part answer to it. And the first piece of advice I always have is listen to the kids. You know, I think about in my role, you know, a great example is we got a CNC milling machine, or when we got our laser cutter, and I didn't know why we needed it. We wrote grants to get these pieces of equipment. I didn't know how to use them, and the kids saw value in them, and the kids helped me figure out how to use them, and we learned together. And I think so often teachers, we get on Twitter, we go to a conference and we see all these new ideas and new pieces of technology. We want to get them into our classrooms. We don't understand why. And I always tell people, just talk to the kids. The kids will find value. And if they don't, then you shouldn't be using them. And then the second part of it, and I think even now more than ever, when it comes to ed tech, is looking for tools that can help level the playing field. I think as so many kids are now at home, we're seeing the divide, the equity piece, the access piece is probably a lot bigger than we wanted to admit, or that we maybe had knew that was there. And so I think technology can certainly help us with that equity and access, but it can also cause a bigger divide. You know, when we look at kids that don't have Wi-Fi, and you know, just very simple things like that. So that's always my other piece of advice: is when you're looking at that ed tech piece, is it helping, you know, bring those you know, extremes together, or is it, you know, making a bigger divide between the haves and the have-nots?
Yeah, I think that's critical. And I think that's something that's really shone out as being the next step, I guess, for what we have to do is making sure that everyone has equitable access to devices. Because no matter where we are in the world, right, we have to make sure that our kids have equitable access, not just to digital resources, but resources full stop. And I think that's something that's, I agree, really come out of this. So you talked a little bit about people posting on Twitter and sharing online. Tell us about your choice of professional learning networks. Where do you engage? And on that note, who should we be connecting with and why?
Yeah, so it's funny. I'd have to look exactly. I think I've been on Twitter, I don't know, 10 or 11 years now. And I would say, and I think a lot of people may have a similar story of, you know, kind of the evolution of that. Starting out using it to gather resources, you know, clicking on links and things like that, to really kind of, you know, developing some pretty significant relationships, both personal and professional. And so for me, Twitter was the place that I used pretty predominantly. And it's still one that I use heavily. But I find myself going into spaces like Voxer, or even Google Hangouts, things like that, with smaller groups of people who I've known now for, you know, like I said, 10 or so years. Yeah, it kind of ebbs and flows, and I'm even finding myself using Instagram a little bit more to gather ideas as my role in the library, you know, seeing more of those pieces of people sharing out content and things that they're doing. And so the visual piece, I'm finding a lot of value in too. So it just kind of, it ebbs and flows, you know, but a critical piece for me right now is actually Voxer more than anything else. Because I have a core group of people there that I connect with pretty much daily for inspiration, for, you know, just having a conversation around sports that we're all missing right now, to the latest ed tech. So it's just, you know, it's kind of all over the place.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot about Voxer. Voxer is not something that I've engaged in, but I've heard nothing but good things coming out of some colleagues of mine that talk about Voxer all the time. So on that note, Josh, point us to an EdTech tool that you currently love using in your day-to-day work. What's something that the listeners here today can jump on and use immediately that you love using?
That's tough to pick just one. one that's been a real big piece in the last couple of years for me, as I have these digital fabrication tools, whether it's the 3D printers, you know, the millers or the laser cutter, is Tinkercad. And it's such a simple tool, It's online, it's web-based, but it allows kids to do digital fabrication. Whether it's a kid designing a moon base for a science class, or 3D renderings of themselves for a game, a game they made in their history class. It's so easy for the most novice, 3D modeler to use. I would say that is one that I use on such a regular basis. Even during this time in quarantine, I have kids who are at home, making up models in there and sending them to me, because I was able to get the 3D printers home and I can, print their models while at home.
That's very cool. So it's actually turning that digital experience into some real life fabrication. As an educator, learning is important, right? It's something that we all thrive in. Recommend to us one book or a resource that you've been reading lately, or one of your all-time favorites, and tell us why we should be exploring it.
one that I'm reading right now is called When. It's a book by Daniel Pink, and he's one of those people that I find myself going back to. His first book that kind of hooked me on his writing was Drive, which talks about human motivation, which I think has a lot of crossover to student motivation. But When is his most recent one, and I recently was able to hear him talk about it. And it just talks about the timing of things, the timing of what we do in our lives as people that can increase the amount of success we have. But he makes some pretty strong connections to school. And when we have kids take math versus ELA, when we start a school day, all of these different aspects of when we, attend to learning tasks, and the time of day that we do those and how that impacts in our brain. It's just super fascinating, and I'm learning a ton, and it just makes me more frustrated about the way our school days are set up, because they don't seem to be following, what the science tells us as to how we should do it.
Totally agree. And so sort of on that note, how do you see schools progressing at the end of all this lockdown? What's going to happen? What are we going to see?
Well, sadly, Craig, I think there's the optimistic Josh and there's the realistic Josh. And optimistically, I hope that we look at it and say, we can do school different. I hope we say that there are kids that desperately need to be in a school building, that learning at home is not a viable option and it is not a productive option for so many reasons. And in some cases, not a safe option. But I also think we need to realize and recognize that for some kids, this has actually been pretty good. We have kids that are not on anxiety medicines, or they're not on ADHD medicines, because they're at home and they're in a more safe and a more calm and a more, an environment more conducive to their learning. So what I hope we come out of this is some sort of a hybrid system where we have the ability to, have kids remotely learn if that's what that is, is best for them. And I think we have some teachers that are going to find that this is a really good, format for them. The realistic side of me and what I worry about is that when we do get back, and in Illinois, where I teach, our governor has already come out and said that we should prepare for a fall that is an e-learning environment. But whenever that day comes, we go back. What I'm afraid of is we're going to try to pick up the pieces and go back to business as usual. I hope I'm wrong. I really, really hope I'm wrong. But business as usual is easy and it's simple. And that's why it's been business as usual. So I hope we really come out of this with a renewed appreciation for the different formats and the different ways in which kids can be at home learning and technology's role in that. And I hope that's what happens.
Yeah, I love your insights there, Josh. What's the best way for the listeners here to follow and connect with you?
Obviously, social media, Stump Teacher is kind of my online presence, whether it's my YouTube channel, Instagram, or Twitter. Twitter is probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. And my website, which is joshstumpenhorst.com, has all my contact info. But with a name like Stumpenhorst, it's pretty easy to track me down. And if you come across a guy with a really good beard who's building barns, that's my younger brother. That's not me.
I love it. Hey, really quickly before we sign off, can you just give us like a 30-second overview about your book, Drawn to Teach?
Yeah. It was one of the most fun projects I ever worked on. A very good childhood friend of mine, Trevor, he's the artist of the book. So I wanted to do a book that was unlike anything that's been out there or that is out there. And so it's a graphic novel teacher book. And so each chapter has a graphic novel narrative section and then a more traditional text breakdown of the graphic novel. And it puts you into real life scenarios in schools and in classrooms and kind of gives you some helpful research-based advice, all within this graphic novel format that I, of course I'm biased, but I think is really, really unique and really well done.
That's really cool. Hey, I'm going to go away and take a look at that for sure. And we'll make sure we get the link out there to all of the listeners so they can go and take a look as well. Hey, Josh, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. My biggest takeaway is the Learning Commons Director. Your role just sounds awesome.
It is. Every day I go to work, I know how lucky I am. And I have a lot of people who look at me and say, man, you got a great job. And I know it.
Yeah. It's amazing. And I think, when all of this dies out and we get back to the school buildings, I'd love to jump on a video call with you and just see things in action because,
for sure,
man, that role just sounds awesome. And I think it's something that schools around the world can really learn a lot from. So thank you for your time. I really appreciate everything and we'll be in touch.
Sounds good.
Today, I have the honor of speaking with Morgan Cave. You might know her from Twitter as @its_MorganCave. Morgan is an instructional technology specialist in Texas, USA. I've loved following her inspirational ideas and resources since we connected. Morgan, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. Are you ready to talk about education and technology integration?
Always.
Okay, let's go. Why don't you start by describing your current role and what inspires you to do what you do?
Well, I'm an instructional technology specialist, and I actually work centrally in my local school district. So I work with a team of 8, and we support all 54 campuses in the district. And so I specifically work with 6 elementaries, 1 junior high, and a high school in supporting those teachers in any of their instructional technology and just, you know, taking their technology to the next level.
That's really cool. You get to see quite a range of schools doing quite a range of things then, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So it is really exciting because there's never a dull day and there's never a lack of, you know, something to do. So it's really great. It's really great. And it's interesting to get to see kindergartners start using technology and, you know, in their first year in school and then see what kids are doing. And it's also kind of interesting to see that sometimes it's not that different.
That's really exciting. You get such a diverse range of experiences and opportunities with the work you do, and you also connect and engage online, so you get to see what's happening all around the world. What excites you about education today?
I love the move towards using technology for creativity. So that's really where my passion lies. I actually got really lucky and got to be in part of a launching of a one-to-one program when I was teaching in the classroom. And that was something that I evolved into. And part of why I wanted to get into my role was for other teachers to get to have that experience of seeing students maybe come out of their shells a little bit, or kids speaking up who maybe don't want to always speak up in class, you know, kids building language skills, all of those things, kids just getting more excited about what they're learning and more empowered through creating, whether that's media or other types of creativity. That really gets me excited. I love to see kids in our district doing that. And I love that it brings kids out and allows them to play on strengths that they have that maybe you wouldn't see otherwise.
Yeah, and you obviously give advice to a lot of teachers and get to work with students across many different places in your district, which is really exciting. What's your best advice for educators listening today in relation to educational technology?
Gosh, you know, I think that one thing with technology is that there's so much fear. People can be really afraid. I see this all the time. You know, teachers feel like, well, they're not good at it, so I can't use it in my classroom. And so I think that you have to let go of a couple things. You have to let go of your fear because, you know, the first time you try anything, it's hard and it's not going to be perfect and it's not going to go well. And a lot of times I see teachers say, well, I tried it this one time and it didn't go well, so that's not for me and I can't do it. And there's no other situation where you would say that. You know, if you were cooking or taking up running or going to yoga or trying any new thing, you would never say, well, I did it once and it didn't work, so I can't do it. So letting go of that fear, because it's maybe not going to go well, but also giving up a little bit of control. You might not be the expert on technology in your classroom, and that's okay. I think this is a place where you can really let some of your students step up and shine and lead And as long as you know that you're using resources and tools that are safe and vetted, that's a place where you can give up some control and give up that fear. You don't have to be the expert and you don't have to be good at everything.
It's a great point. And I have the pleasure of seeing what you do on Twitter all the time and sharing your learning experiences and connecting and engaging on there. And that's my choice of professional learning network as well. And I have many other ways that I connect and engage, but Twitter is definitely the tool that I choose to use most often. What's your choice of professional learning network? Where do you engage and who should we be connecting with?
I am also a huge fan of learning on Twitter. I think that's where I probably do most of my professional learning and connecting with other people. Of course, I like to go to conferences and see people, but it ends up a lot of times being that I go to presentations or connect with people that I've already been following on Twitter. So that's always my favorite place to start. I like to connect with people by trying out different hashtags. So for example, I love connecting with my Apple Distinguished Educator community. And so I'll search hashtags ADE 2019 or Everyone Can Create or Apple EDU Chat and just see what people are doing. I also really like to look at hashtags for different parts of the world. So for example, I'll use Apple EDU Chat. We have our one for the Americas on a certain day and time, but there's others. And so I like to follow those as well, because I might see something that people are doing somewhere else that maybe no one around me is doing yet. So those are some of the things I like to do to connect and engage. And then of course I have the privilege of working on a team of 8 awesome educators. And so they connect me with a lot of local instructional technology folk too.
And what about your day-to-day work? What's an edtech tool that you love using?
My absolute favorite tool for a while now is Clips. And it's an app that you can use on iPad or iPhone. And I love it because it's great for me. I make tutorials for our teachers on it. I make examples for students. I make examples even for our parent community, so parents can support students at home. And what I like about it is that it's really easy to put things together, and you can have voiceover, you can have live titles, so you have that captioning support. You can add music and just make it really polished. And it's really simple and easy to use. And then it's also really great for students too. So I love using that to model for my teachers so that hopefully then they turn around and use it with their students and their students create something really awesome with it.
Yeah, I also love Clips, and I'm very much not a creative person, and I wish I was more creative and better at that side of things, but Clips just makes it so, so easy. And it's a great tool in a one-to-one iPad program, especially. Morgan, as an educator, learning is so important to us. And I think that example that I shared about Clips and my learning experience of moving from being a non-creative person to using a creative tool is something that educators sort of take for granted a little bit. We love to learn and engage. What's one book or resource that you've been reading lately, or just one of your all-time favorites? And tell us about why we should be exploring it.
I really love a book called Learning First, Technology Second. And I love it because it really speaks to the mindset that the learning objective should always be the target. And I think that's a big misconception in technology, that, you know, technology is an add-on piece, or it's separate, or even that it's just for drill and practice. And so this book really speaks to that. And I like that the author offers a framework that teachers can use then for planning. And it talks about engagement, enhancement, and extension. And I feel like those are really the things that I try to reinforce with teachers, where technology can really, really support what they're already trying to do in their classrooms.
Morgan, thank you so, so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. I know that the audience are going to want to connect and engage with you. What's the best way for them to follow and connect with you?
Twitter is probably the best way. I am at @its_MorganCave. And then I also have a little baby podcast. This year, I coached some teachers that I work with and then put out their stories in a podcast, and it's called Making Your Mark, and it's on Anchor. You can find it in Spotify, and then it's also in Apple Podcasts.
That's really cool. I'll make sure that we put the link to both your Twitter and your podcast down below so people can click into it. Morgan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
next week, join me for episode 16 of the EdTech Chat podcast, when I'm joined by another two incredible global educators, Sylvia Rosenthal-Palisano and Seti de Klerk. One of the things I love doing is giving away prizes as a thank you for tuning in, listening, and hopefully subscribing to the EdTech Chat podcast. Last week, Schoolbox gave away 1 hour of free consultancy support to help you create a more seamless ed stack. To win, you needed to complete the form at bit.ly/edtechwin. The winner has already been contacted directly by me, and it is Richard Brewster. Congratulations, Richard. This week, Education Perfect is giving away a $250 subscription to their game-changing product. To win the $250 subscription, you need to go to bit.ly/edtechwin and complete the simple form. It'll take you less than a minute to complete. The link is in the description below. Competition closes on Wednesday the 19th of August, and the winner will be contacted directly by me and announced on next Friday's podcast episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, please smash that subscribe button and share it with your colleagues, friends, and families. I really do appreciate your support. Please remember to take 2 minutes to rate the podcast so we can reach even more educators and edtech enthusiasts globally. Please share your favorite part of today's episode by tagging me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. And please don't hesitate to ask me questions that I can answer in an upcoming episode. Remember, you have the chance to win as well. Check out the links in the description for more. I'll see you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the EdTech Chat Podcast, creating a community for educators to learn, share, and grow. If you like today's episode, please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss another episode. And be in the drawing to win prizes every week. If you know others that would enjoy the show, please hit that share button and brighten their day. Join us again next week for your weekly EdTech hit with @MrKempNZ. We'll see you again soon.